This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour three of the Nightcap, we keep it rolling alongside Super Bowl champ Sean King. I am Tim Murray. It is Wednesday. It is midnight Eastern. And that means one thing and one thing only. It means we dive into the college football slate with our good friend Kenny White.
Another
winner last week. A Friday night winner. Gotta love it. Under in Arizona and Washington comes home. Sean and I were sitting back enjoying that, and then had a little berries to celebrate. So it was a good night by all. Kenny, another winner, and let's keep it rolling here. And I want to start with the game of the week. Two top 10 teams, two undefeated teams, Michigan, Michigan State. Line has moved in the direction of Michigan State a little bit here, getting four now at home. And the total has been talked about quite a bit. Curious your thoughts on this game, because this thing opened 53.5. Now you're seeing some 50s out there, so a lot of play has been coming in on the under. When you look at this rivalry game on Saturday afternoon, what jumps out at you?
Yeah, the total definitely jumps out. I played the game under, and I made this much lower than what it is. I think it's all about pace, and it's Michigan's pace, 99th in the country. They love to run the football. They take their time. But it's all about defense, too. Michigan's defense is better than their offense, ranked 20th in the country. Michigan State, number 34. And it's such a big game. Mm-hmm. 7-0. This is just amazing that these two come in both 7-0 in this rivalry. They're both 4-3 to the under this year, so they do lean there. And again, I think it's just all about defense. I think it's all about Michigan trying to run the football, control the clock, control the tempo. I do lean to Michigan State in the game. This is one of those rivalries that over the pond, the Derby game, throw out all the stats, nothing means anything because these two just hate each other and these players played against each other in high school. They all know each other. It's going to be a very close football game. So, yeah, I lean to the dog, played the under.
Yeah, that is. It feels like that is the way people have been looking at this one, and you're seeing some dog money come in as it now sits at four. We're talking to Kenny White at KWhiteyVegas on Twitter.
Kenny, what would be the lowest number you'd take in this game? Because there has been a lot of movement on this total.
Yeah, you don't want to lose too much value, but I 49.5, Sean, with the key number of 49. I think that'd be as far as I'd go.
Okay. And right now, 50.5 available out there. Pretty much market-wide. Let's get to the cocktail party. Not as much buzz, Florida being out of the top 25 right now, but we know those two teams do not like each other whatsoever. There's been history of running up the score when given the opportunity, and maybe that's why the number's sitting there at 14 and hasn't really budged. Some 14.5s out there, so if you like Florida, our friends over at the South Point, you can go get the dog at 14.5, a total of 51. We know how prolific that defense is for Georgia, but we've seen Florida show some pretty nice spurts offensively. What do you see in this neutral site game on Saturday afternoon between Georgia and Florida?
Yeah, this Georgia defense is just so good. They are the best in the country. You know, they haven't faced the greatest of schedules. Clemson, we know who they are now. That first week, maybe they were a little healthier then, but UAB's had injuries, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, all poor. Then they faced Arkansas, who has a slightly above average offense. They shut them out. That was the impressive game. And then at Auburn, those two games went well under the total. And then Kentucky, 30-13. That went under. So the last three games under, the offense has started to sputter a little bit, but the defense has stayed strong. I think that's the case in this game. Hurricanes still solid on defense. They're number 37 defensively. Offensively, number 17. So pace is going to be a big part of play in this game. Georgia, number 114 in the country. Florida, number 69 in pace. So both below average, and Georgia well below average. They just take their time. They like to suffocate you and then run that clock out in the fourth quarter to nothing. So I like the game under the total. My number's right on the game, but I could see playing Florida because, again, this is just one of those games. This could be a pressure game for Georgia. They may start to feel the pressure because they know that they don't want to lose. They know a loss could really injure them for the college football championship because they'd have to win the SEC championships. Obviously, this team wants to go undefeated, but the further it goes, the more pressure I think they have on them. So I do lean to the dog, but love the under.
A top 20 showdown under the lights in Auburn, or at Auburn, I should say, this week. Ole Miss, only one loss, that coming against Alabama. They keep winning. Matt Corral's been a bit banged up, but one of the Heisman favorites. I was surprised that this number moved as aggressively towards Auburn. Still under a field goal. A couple threes have popped, and then they've been bet back down. So you're sitting at pretty much 2.5 market-wide in favor of the home team, Auburn, which I think is probably surprising to some. This might be a spot where people are taking the points with Ole Miss and maybe the Sharps are taking Auburn. So Ole Miss and Auburn, a pretty high total, as expected, 66, Kenny, and Auburn laying 2.5.
Yeah, I leaned to Auburn just a little bit in this game. It was a better play. The one thing I left out in my handicapping, I didn't see it, that Mississippi has home revenge. They lost last year to Auburn at home. Didn't have that in my initial handicapping. It had Auburn 6.5, but now adjusted down to -4 in the game. I was worried about Mississippi maybe having a little bit of letdown after the LSU game because it just seemed like there was so much emotion in that game. Two programs that are so close that they are big-time rivals. This is still a kind of a rivalry game as well. I like what Brian Harrison's done. And they have the better defense. Auburn, 18th ranked in the country defensively. Mississippi, number 68. That's been their weakness on this team so far, as the defensive end. I think it's going to be an up-tempo game. I do lean a little bit to the total, to the over. And I know there was some under money on this game early. But right now, total about 66.5. So kind of stabilized right there at 66.5, 66. I could see it definitely going over the total, but lean to Auburn, not as strong as it was early in the week.
All right, lowest total on the board, Kenny. I mean, this is the lowest NFL total. You got Iowa and Wisconsin, man. I mean, these two teams, I heard someone say it this week. You know that Spider-Man emoji or meme out there where they're just pointing at each other? I mean, that's what I feel like Iowa and Wisconsin are. A 36.5 out there on the board, and it hasn't moved. Wisconsin, the 3.5-point home favorite in this one against the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, you know, in my magazine, I put a lot of different charts in there for money lines, for push values, odds equivalency. And the one thing I did, I did a survey on totals from 2014 to 2020. And totals that were 38.5 or below, there was only 38 games during that time that were below 38.5. They went under 25 times out of the 38, 12 overs, one push. So it was a 68% under on totals that were this low. So I'm all in on the under. Looking at these two teams, as everything matches up. The pace, Iowa 105, Wisconsin 117. Two of the slowest teams in the country. They both take more than 30 seconds per play. The average college game has about 142 plays. This one's going to have more, around 120. It will have less than the average NFL game. Defensively, Iowa number 6. Wisconsin number 13. And then on offense, Iowa number 120 now. They've continued to slide with 4.6 yards of play. Wisconsin not much better, ranked number 110 in FBS and offense at 5.2. So yeah, under the total for me.
Talking once again to our good friend Kenny White at KWhiteyVegas on Twitter. All right, Kenny, we'll leave you a little bit of buffer room, so if we have time to get to another game, we will. But I know Sean, he's sitting there like he's in philosophy 101, taking his notes. He wants to know what your favorite play is. Last week, just to remind folks, another winner under Washington and Arizona, a Friday night special. So I believe on the show, going back to week 0, you're 7-2 on your favorite play. Not too shabby. We appreciate it. What do you got this week? What is jumping out for you?
Well, I'm going to promise you college basketball is going to even be better than that.
What I'm
finding in college basketball, the transfer portal has just completely changed the game. There may be some lack of continuity in teams, but it's going to be extremely solid betting college basketball in November and December. I'm going to go back to the well this weekend. Arizona is playing again. Will Plummer, redshirt freshman, starting at quarterback with two non-scholarship athletes behind him. And Arizona played extremely hard last week versus Washington. We got that under easy. Their defense came to play. They're still winless. They are looking for a win. And they're playing, I think, a very unmotivated USC team. The total, 56.5. I just can't believe it's this high. Arizona just doesn't score enough. They average 13 a game. USC only averages 30 a game. So, yeah, those two up, that comes to 43. I think it's going to be a very low-scoring game. So, yeah, right back to the well, Arizona, USC under 56.5.
See, Kenny, what I've tried to teach Tim is when you're in the presence of genius, you just listen. So when you come on, I just listen. I try and tell him every day this same theory, and he does not buy into it.
Not bashful at all.
No. Yeah. Kenny White's a genius. K-Weezy.
Kenny White is. All right, Kenny, before we let you run, less than a minute, I'm fascinated by late-night Fresno State and San Diego State. 44.5 in San Diego State, either a pick or minus one. Anything jump out at you late night, Saturday night?
Yeah, you know what? This game, San Diego State playing in the Dignity Health Sports Park. yeah, there's a lot of dignity there. They got a two-hour drive to there. Fresno's got a three-and-a-half-hour drive. There's no home advantage. There'll be as many Fresno State fans in the stands as San Diego State. This is such a big game. The line is figured in with home field advantage, and I think Fresno State should be the favorite here. San Diego State's offense continues to get worse week in and week out. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, but I do like Fresno in this one. I think they'll win the game.
Ooh. Hey, man, if I could bet on Jake Haner late night, I'm in. I'm in. I always bet on Kenny White. He's the best. He joins us each and every Wednesday. Kenny, we appreciate it. Have yourself a winning weekend.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Best of luck to everybody during the week.
There he is, Kenny White, at KWhiteyVegas on Twitter, under Arizona and USC. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, BetRivers has you covered. BetRivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. We've got CityCasts in Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, LA, and now Denver. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcasts. Alongside Sean King, I am Tim Murray. We're live from the Circa Sportsbook. The Houston Astros have evened up the World Series. It is now one game apiece. They win 7-2 tonight, making Sean happy and making me very nervous. I don't feel great, but we're going to ride it out.
You don't feel great about what?
About where the Braves are.
It's 1-1. Like, they won a game on the road. That's all you can ask for.
They did. They sent it back. Yeah. They also had their ace break his leg.
You'll be fine.
That was not great.
You'll be fine.
Here at Circa, Astros minus 140 on the adjusted series price. It was plus 145 yesterday. Braves back to plus 120. That was, I think, the series price heading into the World Series. So,
sounds right.
Where we stand right now, 7-2, the final score, a push on the total. Our friend Dave Ross here apparently wanted the over. So you're getting your money back, Dave. Everyone gets your money back, unless you got it early at 8.5, but pretty much nines across the board. You know, I want to go back just quickly, curious your thoughts on, and I know you didn't watch a ton of this team because, well, why would you, on Saturday night, but I really was unimpressed by what was going on at USC. And, you know, we talked about outside of Drake London, who is an absolute baller.
Receiver, he's good.
He's going to be, he might, I think he'll be the first receiver selected.
Oh, that's saying a lot. Come on. He's good. We'll see.
But, I mean, they had dumb penalties, lack of execution to close out the half. They had, you know, on a, I think it was a third down stop, their cornerback elbowed Kyren Williams in the head. I mean, they are a disaster, and I want to fade them, but they're playing Arizona. But as Kenny said, you know, Arizona stinks. They're not good. but they actually have something to play for. So I didn't go crazy, but it's 21.5 here, and I took a little bit on 21.5 because I just think Arizona cares, and I don't think USC does.
Yeah, I'm going to pair Arizona with the under in this game.
I think that's, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you look at a team like USC, they're, what, 4-3, 3-4? I can't remember what.
3-4.
Yeah. And they've got some pros on their roster. You've got Drake London. You've got Keaton Slovis. Who they're trying to play for their draft stock right now. They're back. They're running back. Is it Ingram? Deontay Ingram from Texas. You've got Arizona this week. I mean, how those guys, there's no way, Sean, they're up for this game.
I agree.
Now, could they win? They should win. They're far superior. There's so much more talent. But for Arizona, they can look at this game. We're 0-7.
We can beat USC.
We can beat USC. We can go into the Coliseum. I mean, look, I could lose. It wouldn't be crazy to me if Arizona won this game.
I agree.
It wouldn't be nuts.
I'm not going to trust Arizona.
No, and I'm not saying, you know, go put a unit on Arizona to win it outright. But if you have, you know, a little fun money, I mean, plus 875 on the money line for Arizona here at Circa, will they win? Yeah, probably not. But I just think about what this would mean for that program, Sean.
Yeah, Arizona was up 13-0 last week against a terrible Washington team.
But I feel like Washington still is playing a little bit for their coach.
Yeah, I'm just saying as far as taking them to win, like, that's just absurd. And they might, but I'll tell you about playing bad teams.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to bet them.
Yeah, because it's two bad teams. But I'm not going to trust them to win.
I mean, I'm not saying go out and put $100,000 or, you know, even $100 on Arizona.
You know what's amazing?
But you have a little fun money.
And I've got to get Keyshawn.
You put $10 down.
I've got to get Keyshawn on the show because I push back on the national narrative that University of Southern California, as we sit here in 2021, is an elite job. I really push back on that because I don't think they are. I think the greatest thing going for USC is that they play in the Pudding Conference.
And their backyard
they have
is
the least
talent
amount,
rich.
But their backyard is no longer their backyard. They've built a bigger gated community right behind their community, and now their backyard is everybody's backyard.
Mm-hmm.
When a Clemson comes into California and takes a recruit, the level of DJ, I can never say his last name.
Uyunglele.
When Ole Miss comes and takes a recruit of Matt Corral's caliber. Bryce Young, I think, is from where? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's from Cali.
When Alabama comes into California. See, here's what happens, which is why I don't think SC is a great job. Those kids have all had a tremendous experience. So now those relationships are already entrenched. So now USC, there is no, oh, we're just going to keep our kids and send them all to Southern Cal like there used to be. Like, they've got to actually get down and dirty and fight. And when you're fighting these behemoths, you're fighting all these different battles on the front line, what happens to your flank? Now Oregon comes in and steals the right guard from this part of L.A. because you're so focused on trying to keep the next Matt Corral there. And I just think because people have really gotten comfortable and have built a lot of relationships in California, there's no such thing now as building a fence around L.A. and locking that city down. And so if USC can't get the top 10 players in L.A. or 8 of the top 10 to come be Trojans, then where are your guys coming from? Like, California is not really close to any other hotbed of high school talent.
The crazy part is their quarterback's from Arizona. Keaton Slovis is not
right,
a California
because
guy.
They missed on all the good California kids.
And they found one. I mean, Keaton Slovis was a 3-star recruit, and I think if he had the right coach.
Yeah, he's thrown 9 touchdowns.
I think he would be better.
Yeah. My point being, Southern Cal is not as great of a job as it used to be.
But, well, let me ask you this.
It has a lot of tradition.
So LSU won a title, what, 2 years ago?
Right.
One of the best teams maybe college football has ever
LSU's
assembled.
LSU's 10 times a better job. The only thing that LSU has is they're in the SEC West.
Right. So if you're and Ed Orgeron, just that is his dream job.
Right.
He got fired less than 2 years after He won a national championship with arguably the greatest football college football team we've ever seen.
Yeah, but no offense to Coach O. His nightlife was impacting his
team. I get it.
Yeah,
I get
that,
it.
That played a large role.
But if you're
role.
Looking around, and Clay Helton looked like he was on the hot seat for 7 years, and yet he just got fired this year, I look around and I say, USC, you make a great point about the backyard has now got a lot of neighbors.
Yes.
A lot of people are coming in and taking those people out.
And have real relationships there.
LSU or Louisiana is a talent-rich area. Now, it's close to Texas.
LSU could actually lock down the state of Louisiana.
I agree.
They've done it before. So a lot of people don't
agree.
Know this. Here's what LSU, because the cool thing to do about 4 years ago was when you have these summer camps, invite all of these big programs in. So if Louisiana Monroe wanted to do like a summer camp, they'd throw a summer camp, but they'd invite Texas. They'd invite Oklahoma. LSU said no in-state school in Louisiana can invite an out-of-state school to do their summer camp and shut it all down. Because they were tired of Nick Saban and Kirby and these guys coming in and getting all this one-on-one time with these elite kids. Like, they can do that there. California's a different animal.
But I think the conference that you play in at USC, to your point,
that helps.
Is very, I mean, look at it right now. I mean, how long would it take if you got the right guy at USC to overtake Oregon? To overtake Arizona State, who might be dealing with their own issues? You know, UCLA, we thought they were back, but they're not necessarily back.
Here's what's interesting, and Oregon's going to test this theory this year, because I believe it's harder to make the college football playoff from the Pac-12 than it is from the SEC. And here's why. You know, in the SEC West, you can afford to lose a game, and you still can get in.
But
I don't know if the Pac-12 champion with a loss gets in. This will be fascinating.
But each year at LSU, you've got Alabama on the schedule. You've got Auburn on the schedule. You've got Ole Miss on the schedule.
But you're also capable of beating those schools in head-to-head recruiting battles, which at the end of the day is what this comes down to. When LSU won it, every receiver that was on that group that Joe Burrow was throwing to is going to be a Pro Bowler. That's why they won the game.
Yeah, well, Alabama had four first-round picks, too.
My point being, you're never really going to get that on offense, in my opinion, at Southern Cal anymore, where they line up and have Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, and all these guys on one team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't know if you can get that level of talent at Southern Cal.
To me, if I look at – now, I'm not –
California doesn't have it, but saying that when there is a Ja'Marr Chase in Los Angeles, so California,
you're
Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, whoever the head coach of LSU – Lincoln Riley, Steve Sarkisian out of Texas, all those guys are coming to recruit that kid too.
You're the hottest candidate. You can get any job in the world. You take LSU over USC?
Facts. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. If Osron just would have went to bed at night, he'd probably still be there.
It's the nightcap here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th. VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates for all of the action. Visit vsin.com/SBNC for more information and learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash, including the $1 million top prize. Once again, that's vsin.com/SBNC. Alongside Sean King, I'm Tim Murray. Portland Trailblazers wrapping up the NBA slate right now with a thumping of the Memphis Grizzlies. Mentioned what the Lakers did earlier tonight. They were up by 24 at one point, maybe 26, and ended up getting the L against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And Aaron Oster, our producer, looked up and found that the peak of the market, Sean, on Moneyline for OKC was 25-1. 25-1. You could have grabbed OKC on the money line when down by 26 points. and the OKC Thunder come back. They win by 8. There were a couple technicals at the end. Russell Westbrook gets ejected. Yeah.
Timberwolves went to Milwaukee and won.
That's
Miami Heat went to Brooklyn and pushed the Nets to 2-3 on the season.
And right now the Clippers are getting beat. They're an 8-point dog, 8-point favorite against Cleveland.
7 minutes left in the fourth. All kind of strange things going on in the
Milwaukee,
NBA.
Milwaukee, yeah, you mentioned Milwaukee losing to Minnesota. Minnesota, that was one of JVT's best plays, was the over on Minnesota. So I'm sure that makes him happy to see
I'll be honest with you. I'm a spectator when it comes to NBA for most of the season.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I just watch. Yep. I watch and laugh because it's pure comedy. you don't ever know what that leaves, man.
Three unbeaten teams left in the NBA, by the way. The Chicago Bulls, the Golden State Warriors, and the Utah Jazz. Yeah. Those are your three unbeatens here in late October. As we've been talking about, the World Series is now even, one game apiece. 7-2 victory for the Houston Astros tonight. Urquidy gets the win. Pitched well for the Houston Astros. Went 5 innings, struck out 7. And they're able to get the victory and even up the series. And now take that series. Now have the series price in their favor. They're minus 140 favorites here at Circa. I just want to wrap up, put a bow on, you know, the discussion we were having. So you've got USC, you've got LSU open. Just who knows? I mean, there's so many curveballs in these coaching searches. So many names that are thrown out there. Once again, Mike Tomlin definitely going to USC.
It's so disrespectful to even bring his name up when you're talking about a college job. I wish the national media would stop doing that.
Yeah. I
you know, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season.
Never.
As an NFL head
coach. You're right.
It's ridiculous. I actually get upset. You know, when they do that, because it's really disrespectful. People don't bring up Andy Reid going to college. Nobody's talking about Kyle Shanahan going to college. Like, come on, man, please stop it. He's been to 2 Super Bowls, he's won one, never had a losing season in the history of being the head coach in Pittsburgh, an organization that's had 3 head coaches. Like, if there's ever a company that you want to work for, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, it's the Rooneys and the Steelers.
Like, come on, guys, cut it out. National media, do better. Stop being lazy.
Well, I think it was just Carson Palmer. It was a former USC quarterback who
he's in the national
I'm sure
league.
People were
but it happens every year.
Chirping in his ear.
Every year when the college openings come up, Mike Tomlin's name gets thrown out there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. For Texas, when it came up in all those jobs. Yeah. They need to stop that.
So who do you think ultimately, all right, who will land at USC and who should land at USC? I think ultimately it's James Franklin.
I don't have a good feel for this. I would say that I like Franklin's personality. I'm not a big fan of his in-game management, and I also don't think he brings a dynamic offensive or defensive system with him. He's got to hire that through his coordinators.
But if you're USC, I think James Franklin and you're Mike Bone, would you rather have a guy like Matt Campbell – who gets
no, Matt Campbell won't fit in LA.
More out of less, yeah. Fickle.
Neither one of those guys.
I think James Franklin to me makes the most sense. He clearly wants out of Penn State. He hires Jimmy Sexton as his agent this week, whether that's to negotiate more money with Penn State. I just think what worked at USC with Pete Carroll, it's that big personality. It's the embracing of Hollywood, right. Will Ferrell, Snoop Dogg. We're going to bring in all these players. And I mentioned it. James Franklin is a great recruiter. Now, I don't think he's a great coach, but I think he's a really good recruiter. And look, he did something that Jim Harbaugh's never done. He's beaten Ohio State, and he's won a Big Ten championship at Penn State. Hasn't gotten to the playoff, but won a Big Ten championship. I think his ability to recruit and sell ice to an Eskimo is what USC needs. They need that punch, and then he can go out with the money that they're offering and hire Joe Moorhead away from Oregon or something like that, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Listen, if I was on the board of directors, board of trustees with Southern Cal, here would be my pitch. Guys, let's not work people, because I'm sure there are women on the committee as well. Let's not get caught up in winning the press conference. Let's hire the right coach.
So who is that?
I don't know yet. I've been thinking about it a lot. It's got to be somebody who can motivate people, that can lead. Because to me, as long as you hire a great staff, the Trojan brand is significant. Like, it carries weight, like in every region of this country. Now, they have not in the recent past been the school that's won a lot of these recruiting battles. I was looking on my computer. Right now, they're 26 in ESPN team rankings. Yeah. Stanford and Oregon are in front of them. Now, that'll change, you know, when they hire the coach. There'll be some momentum there. But they've got a long way to go to be able to go head-to-head with the elite programs. Because they, I'm just telling you, I've been on the trail recruiting. It's hard to beat some of those schools.
I know.
So I want to hire a ball coach. Like, I'm telling you, they'd never do it. And I'm not even going to throw it out there because I don't want to give them that kind of cachet. But there are some guys that I have in mind who can really coach football. That's what USC has to hire. They've got to hire a great football coach.
I mean, I think Matt Campbell's a great football coach.
I don't.
Really?
No. I think Matt Campbell's a great fit at Iowa State, and that makes him a great football coach. Because the problem with
I just felt like this year they were in a no-win situation. So here's there was all these expectations. Brock Purdy.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If Tim Jr. Is a big-time recruit, and because this is what Southern Cal has to compete against, and you have three visits set up on a Friday afternoon. Nick Saban lands in a helicopter, comes in the house, you know, with the slacks on and the sport coat. He leaves. Kirby Smart lands on the helicopter, comes in the house, gives his pitch. He leaves. And then Matt Campbell rambles in. Like, I don't know if he's ready for those kind of battles. So to me, you have to hire somebody that can win that battle. Because when you're talking about
locking LA, I think that's James Franklin.
I don't know. Maybe. Well, you might be right.
And
maybe.
That's why you said they need a ball coach, so that's why I threw out Matt Campbell and Luke Fickell. I think what fits most for USC, look, as a Notre Dame fan, I hope they hire Jeff Fisher. I hope they hire, you know, someone from, you know, a JUCO and this does his overwhelm.
Here's what's weird
but
about
I think James Franklin, as a Notre Dame fan, I think James Franklin would be scary because I think what USC needs is just a dynamic recruiter.
Right. Let me give you an example. Last year when – who was the coach for the Chargers last year?
Anthony Lynn.
Anthony Lynn. When they fired Anthony Lynn, a lot of people were like, that's kind of unfair.
Yeah.
Then they hired a guy named Brandon Staley.
Yep.
And everybody's like, what in the heck? Who is that? Like, just looked like my little nephew. And now fast forward 10 months, one of the best hires of the whole cycle.
Yep.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, don't get caught up in winning the press conference. The Los Angeles Chargers did not win the press conference when they announced Brandon Staley is going to be our next head coach. But they did their due diligence. They found someone that schematically had a solid, sound plan that can fit different pieces at different times and somebody that can lead men. So if you're Southern Cal, stop trying to win the press conference and go find the right football coach.
Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher's the guy.
Jeff Fisher's not leaving
television. You need to hire Jeff Fisher.
He's not leaving television. It's just not.
I mean, he is. I mean, look. I mean, he's just.
He's got a great job. He works
7 wins,
20 days a year, makes a couple million bucks.
Bring him home.
Probably not leaving.
Bring him home, Jeff Fisher. That's the guy you need, Trojan.
I like it. Not
Jeff Fisher.
And I want Notre Dame. I want USC to hire somebody great so they can beat Notre Dame.
You know, this guy, he tries to be all nice. Oh, I'm so proud of you for getting a 16-1 ticket on the Braves. Oh, I just want Notre Dame crushed.
That's not my tonation, by the way.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Indeed helps find great hires fast. Indeed is your all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, and hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. It is a nightcap here on VSiN. That is Sean King, Super Bowl champ. I'm Tim Murray. We've got ourselves a Thursday night football game tomorrow night or tonight, depending on where you may be.
Yeah, I already got like the it's game day post from USL football.
Oh, that's right. USF playing East Carolina. It is. Yeah, it is. We got
game day.
We got some games. Let's start with the headliner. That is Green Bay and Arizona. Right now, Arizona laying 6.5, a total of 50.5, pretty much across the board. You are all in on Arizona laying the 6.5.
Yeah. Woodshed. Old-fashioned Mike Leach going on. Yeah. I'm going to take him out back. Put him in the little contraption and burn him to death. That's what's going to happen in Glendale, Arizona tomorrow. The Packers will be exposed. Remember I told you this.
So for me,
this is one of those, get all your shuckles and go lay the number.
All right.
Yeah.
Arizona laying the 6.5. I am on Arizona in a teaser, so I hope they win as well.
Yeah, don't tease yourself. You rolling with me, Aaron? I produce. You rolling with me tomorrow? Arizona minus 6.5?
We'll sit back. We'll enjoy it.
Yeah, he's talking teasers, too. Why won't you guys just stand up in the paint, 10 toes down, commit, and go all in for once in your life? You got to be all in with this thing. Go all in tomorrow with the Cardinals.
You got it. We'll ride with you, man.
Can you imagine as a coach, you're motivating your players? Yeah. And when I'm be like, you got it.
Yeah. Go for it, coach.
You're uncoachable.
You got it, coach. We believe in you.
Matter of fact, I think you probably should enter the portal.
We had Brad Evans on earlier in the show. Aaron Jones over 4.5 receptions.
That's going to happen.
I think that's happening. Yeah. Receiving yards continues to skyrocket up. It's at 38.5 now. He still likes the over in that spot. And I think, you know, something we talked about a little bit with Brad and I, you know, we were doing, something for DraftKings earlier. And maybe you disagree. You know, Kyler hasn't really run a ton this year. He's only gone over his player prop, which is the number that is set right now at DraftKings, which is 28.5 rushing yards twice.
All right.
I think tomorrow night's a night, you know, you look at how Heinicke just ran all over Green Bay. Now, obviously, the level of athlete between Heinicke and Murray is not comparable.
Right.
I mean, Kyler Murray is one of the most incredible athletes in the league. So, as you know, Green Bay will have to scheme that up. But with the weapons that they have, as you've talked about, I think there's going to be lanes to run. I think you could see some big runs. And I think this is an opportunity for Arizona to make another big statement, as you kind of talked about. They haven't gotten the love. And I think Kyler Murray, who is up for MVP, I think Josh Allen's just a notch ahead of him right now in the odds. I think this is an opportunity for him to explode a little bit on the MVP scene. So I think he rushes a little bit tomorrow.
Again, and I mentioned this when we had Brad actually on the show. With Kyler, it's not about can he. It's
will he. Yeah.
Like, Kyler could rush for over 50 yards every game if he so chooses. But I'm just telling you, I've seen a seismic shift in him this season. Last year, he alluded the rush to run. This year, he's going above and beyond, not to cross the line of scrimmage, so that he can allow things to happen down the field and get big plays throwing the ball. And so I hope you guys are right. But because of that, I took him and his rush props off of my list of things to do. Because they don't really call a lot of design runs for him.
Yeah.
Because he's so good when they call passes, just actually running the ball. But he's been evading the rush to throw this year. So I don't know if that's going to change. But again, he's so dynamic. He can get 28 yards in one carry.
Well, that's my thing is, on a regular Sunday game, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be playing as over. But the fact that this is a Thursday night game against the Packers, I just look at the game. You know, the last time he had a big game rushing-wise going over that number, it was the Rams game. That was a huge game, right?
Right.
He rushes for 39 yards in that game. He has a big run of 18 yards. That's his longest rush of the season. Against Houston, he had 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Against Cleveland, he had 6 yards. They mm-hmm. killed him. Against San Francisco, he had 1 yard. So I just think in this spot, And I think it'll be a little closer than you do. If it's a blowout like you anticipate, then I think you should absolutely, unless he gets it in the first quarter, not bet the over on Kyler Murray because he won't need to run because they're up so big.
So let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. When at full strength, what do you think of Green Bay's defense?
Like with both Smiths, with Jair Alexander? Yeah. I think it's above, you know, top half of the league.
Okay, so it's somewhere in the top 16.
Yeah.
More likely 12 to 16 than 1 to 11.
I mean, I would have been a little happier if they not hired Joe Barry.
So they already have a what's only slightly above defense that's now missing.
Yeah, they're missing a lot.
Their major parts going up against the most talented, the most dynamic offense in the National Football League on the road.
So,
and the one thing that sustained them is Rodgers to Adams. And that's most likely not going to be available. Lazard has been the
Lazard has been gone.
The second one. How Iowa State produced an elite receiver, I don't know, but it happens.
He was undrafted free agent.
Right. Well, he's ended up being really good.
Yeah.
Like, my thing is, okay, is there any chance that unless Kyler or somebody gets hurt that Arizona doesn't score 24-plus?
I don't know. NFL's weird, man. I agree. On the surface, it seems like Arizona makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
But why is the number still sitting at 6.5? That seems bizarre.
Well, a lot of times I'm telling you, I think the odds makers throw these numbers out because they know the number alone will keep the money more even.
I don't think the money's even. I think the money's all over Arizona. Well, I think if Arizona covers, it's going to be bad for the books.
Well, it's going to be bad, man. Because now they'll be up more. I don't think there's any point in this game after they score the first touchdown where they won't be up a touchdown.
So, Sean, all over the 6.5?
All over it.
I've got Arizona in a teaser paired with Indianapolis. That doesn't exist anymore.
Anyone that wants to take Green Bay money line, I'll book it.
Got to pay out some cash if that comes home.
It's not coming home.
So it's 242. All right, quickly, no baseball tomorrow. It's a travel day. Game 3 on Friday night down in Atlanta. Where it will be Ian Anderson on the hill for the Braves. They are a very, very slight favorite. I don't know if that line has moved. It has not. Minus 110 here at Circ in favor of Atlanta. Even money in favor of Houston, or even money for Houston. Quickly, college football tomorrow night. Two games and one that you like. You're gonna be busy tomorrow night.
Yeah, man. I'm all on Coastal.
Yeah, you laid the 17, or you're going to lay the 17 with Coastal.
I'm all on Coastal. Troy. Yep, let's do it. Let's get it.
Why?
Because I think they're a different team at home than they are on the road. And I just don't think Troy is prolific enough on offense to score points to cover this number. Like, no one's going to shut Coastal down. You know what I mean? Like, they're too good offensively. I don't know. What was the final score in the
30-27.
It was 27. And they played as bad a game offensively as they've played all year at App State against a really good team in a crazy environment. They still scored 27. Like, they've scored 320 points. That is by far the most in the Sun Belt. On the other hand, Troy has scored 177.
Yeah, Troy not prolific offensively.
Right, Coastal's going to be in the 30s at minimum, in my opinion. So now I just have to keep, you know, Troy somewhere around 14, 17. You know, I think that's too big a number for that offense against Coastal coming off a loss, knowing that they can't afford to drop any more games playing at home.
So 17 in some spots, so it's come down a little bit. It was 18.5. So some backing in the market on Troy.
I hope it comes all the way down to 14 by the time I play.
I don't think it's going to do that. I think it's probably going to be staying at 17. And then your USF Bulls, fresh off that win. Great call by you.
Yeah.
Crushing Temple. They are on the road in Greenville tomorrow, getting East Carolina here at Circa. ECU laying 10. Mm-hmm. This number is... you've seen some ECU backing, other 9.5s across the market. Any thoughts on this one?
I would say I'd probably lean a little bit to over the 56. That's about the only thing that I like in that game. USF's going to score points. Timmy McClain, freshman quarterback, he'll make some mistakes, but he's going to make some plays. They've been aggressive in their passing game, so I think, you know, they'll have some opportunities to make some stuff happen down the field. But I love East Carolina's quarterback.
Holden Ahlers.
Yeah.
And he's been there forever.
Yeah, I don't love USF's defense on the road. So I could very easily see this being a 35-30 type game.
The only issue I have with ECU in laying that number is they had a 5-hour delay They were playing till like 1 a.m. on Saturday. Now they have a short week taking on South Florida.
Which means they won't be as good on defense. They'll give up more points.
There you go. All right. That's Sean. I'm Tim. Scott Seidenberg coming up next.
Scotty!
The look ahead. We'll be back tomorrow right here on VSiN.